Welcome to Tim and Joel. Call it in the ring. Happy Sunday, Joel Pearl. I had some wine, some Chardonnay.
Is it really at noon on a Sunday?
I'd say it's completely unrelated to pro wrestling, but anyway. Talk about pro wrestling, I'm gonna drink some wine because I ran out of coffee.
The wrestling is driving you to drink.
A little bit.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not your fault. It's Vince McMahon's fault.
It's so many people's faults after this week. But you know what? It's not our fault, and it's not your fault if you can toss us a thumbs up on this video. Maybe leave a comment, and you can subscribe to our channel here at timandjoelpod.com. We got some stuff in the works that I'm excited about. And our Discord's open. There's a link in the video description. Come and join us. Why not? It's Sunday. You know what that means. We're talking about wrestling. We're going to talk about day one. We're going to talk about Rampage. We're going to talk about Dynamite from this past week. A bit of a weird week in wrestling content-wise, and I'm excited, and I'm a little like, talking about it. Tim, by the way, Happy New Year. We haven't exchanged pleasantries there yet.
Yep. The calendar has marched forward. Nothing has changed. Hooray.
Upset Tim is slowly becoming my favorite Tim. We're going to have to call you Sour Tim, and you're going to have to steal another guy's gimmick. There are plenty of sour people on the internet.
Yeah, there's no shortage of that. I think I can just, I'll just step away.
You just join in with the rest of them.
I'm not joining in with those people. That's the other thing. I also have no desire to like participate in the griping. I just kind of want to stop watching a lot of it. that's the normal response. It's just like, I'm not enjoying this. I don't know. I enjoyed some stuff, yeah.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like once you are watching everything, it's sometimes hard to enjoy the general idea of wrestling.
It's pushing me. It's pushing me. I'll tell you what.
I'll tell you what. You're gonna start selling wrestling and wrestling accessories.
Yeah. No, I'd rather die.
Oh man.
Well, although if I were to make a website, I would manage credit cards better if I were to sell wrestling and wrestling accessories than some of the most popular companies doing so right now in a astoundingly pathetic feat of failure.
Shout out to whatamaneuver.net who are currently mopping up whatever Pro Wrestling Tees has screwed up because they know how to run a business.
Truly pathetic in this day and age that you're storing unencrypted credit cards. Really just storing credit card information that way. Anyway, glad I never bought anything because I considered buying from them and now I never, ever, ever will.
Me too. And the fact that like they charge you an excess amount for shipping in Canada to Canada.
T-shirts is ridiculous. Like,
and on top of it, you won't see the shirt until 6 months later, which at that time the wrestler is either going to be like on a completely different trajectory than when you were popularized by that t-shirt.
Honestly, ridiculous. What a ridiculous company.
Oh, I just expect better. That's all.
Just expect the norm of literally any online retailer nowadays. It's so easy. What a joke.
And that's what's funny. It's like whenever I buy wrestling merch, I either buy it at the show that I go to, like especially with indie shows, because I'll go and I can support the wrestlers directly and give them the money in their hands. Be like,
truly the best. Yeah,
this is yours. Or if I do buy from like WWE.com from their shop, I buy stuff on clearance because it gets here faster. There's no ridiculous shipping rate. And on top of everything, it's cheaper. I can buy sweaters. Like I can buy a hoodie that's like super well crafted and like lasts for years and years. And it costs like $13 Canadian. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Anyway, day one was last night. Last night was day one and it was Saturday. I'm totally messed up. I don't know what day or time or week of the month, whatever it is. You know why? It's not just because of day one being on a Saturday, because the Usos and the New Day fought each other for what could have been the 27th time this month in a good match. Did you enjoy that?
Was it a good match? I didn't think it was a good match. I thought it was boring as hell. Really? Yeah. Like, this is awesome chance. I don't get it. And maybe it's just like I don't get WWE's style anymore, but like, are they telling a story in the ring? Is the story slow and plodding? I saw it take forever. I saw a boring back and forth and then a terrible 3D to finish the match. That's kind of, but I like, I don't know. I'm not sitting there fixated because I got bored and then I zoned out. So maybe a couple of good spots happened, but like, it's the same four guys I've seen in the ring 18 million times doing the same signature moves, except, oh, they busted out a 3D and did it like shit.
They now call it the 1D.
Yeah, which I know. Pat McAfee took great pains to stress over and over again at the end there over Michael Cole, who didn't seem to have been given the memo. It was just poorly coordinated, like both in ring and out ring. And like it, the match was fine. Like, again, like these guys are all at the top of their game. WWE is putting in serviceable things, but I think that the stories that they think they're telling in the ring are more interesting than they actually are. Like, and we'll get to Edge and Miz, but that's more where I have a gripe about storytelling in ring. Like, they're, I don't know. They need to hire some English lit majors if they want to tell stories, because they don't have people who know how to do that.
Well, you see, I was told that if you have 27 writers, that's too many writers.
Do they have 27 writers?
No, it's a stupid Tony Khan.
Yeah, okay. Because I was wondering what that bit was. I saw one of
and then, yeah, you saw Brian Gewirtz.
That's the one, yeah. And so I was like, I don't know what any of this means. Like,
so
I don't...
Brian's a former head writer. He's with the Rock 7 Bucks now. He is like the top dog next to the Rock with 7 Bucks Productions. So when he tweeted that out, yeah, listen, he's still on good terms with WWE, obviously, and he worked for the company for eons. So he's going to have a bit of a bias, but he's not wrong. Like, the company doesn't need to have a million writers to get it right. They need the right people listening and having the ideas put out there, because you're pitching to an audience of one, and that's been the line for years now. You're pitching to Vince, and that's it.
Garbage. What a garbage way to write anything. Like,
it is.
Like, you're pitching to a man with the creative sensibilities of a toddler, as far as I'm concerned. So, like, I don't know. It's not good.
Needs more poop.
Yeah.
Poop and pushing people into pools.
Oh boy.
So
yeah, like I love everyone. I love all those wrestlers. Like, and the match was fine. It's just like, I just immediately get irritated when it's the constant, this is awesome. Like, the crowd just like exciting themselves to, oh, I get to finally see the thing in the city that this company comes to 80 times a year because their main circuit is the South. So like,
I don't know the last time they were in Atlanta.
I can never tell, because honestly, show. All these bloody American cities seem the same to me.
The thing about Atlanta also was that this was made up to be a big match and a big card. And they did have a big card going into it. They just had to shuffle everything at the last minute. And we'll talk about that shortly.
Look, premium live event is definitely the right thing for what they're doing, because that's all it is. It's a live event. It is nothing to, like, I was not entertained watching it at home. It was probably pretty fun to be at live.
And that's the thing. It's not a pay-per-view. It hasn't been a pay-per-view since they launched the network.
That terminology doesn't make any sense. Like,
yeah. And then they tried with live network. They still have live network specials, but they don't call it that anymore. Live network specials were like, we're not showing it on traditional pay-per-view as well. We're only showing it, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, premium live event is now the verbiage that they're using. PLE for short. Makes sense to me. I'm fine with it. Like, and people are going to be like, I don't like it. I'm going to be like, what do you care?
WWE just has a problem with making everything way too goddamn wordy. Like, premium live event is like a mouthful, which is just like, there was probably a better way to go about this. Like, yes, it accurately.
They tried, though.
Yeah.
They've tried. True. They've tried other names and they've all failed. This is the first one.
They want to make it sound special. Like, sadly, I don't even think they're that special. Like, none of these events are treated with any like significance anymore. And that is truly at the heart of why I dislike watching WWE at this point. Like, I really liked the pay-per-view structure, the 4-week builds into like really significant blow off matches, but that's not at all what happens anymore. It hasn't been for quite some time, like to the point where WrestleMania feels very insignificant to me. Like, I'm not looking forward to it because I don't think they're going to tell interesting stories, because I think we're going to have a bunch of blow off matches at Royal Rumble and on TV, and the Mania matches are going to be built in 5 weeks and mediocre.
So something to think about as we move into WrestleMania season and beyond is that TV is going to become more important, because they're also moving into a negotiation year when it comes to their TV rights deal. So with that, it will come a lot of attempts at ratings pops. I think you and I talked about it on the show, and I've talked about it elsewhere. That the Elimination Chamber is probably going to happen in February, and they're probably going to run it on Raw and SmackDown individually. And I think it'll be one chamber will be for the men, one chamber for the women, because whoever didn't win the Royal Rumble, that opposite team is going to do the Elimination Chamber. So it'll be one from Raw, one from SmackDown, and that's how they pop the rating. And you know what? Again, fine by me. As long as
that I prefer. That I prefer. I have make no issue with that. That's fine, because at least the TV is more interesting at that point. It's just, I just don't think that they've seriously considered the shift. The network's been the thing for a long time now, and I just don't think they've really given it consideration. They focused more on what to call it than how to change the structure of the programming. And that's been frustrating to me, because they've been running the same structure and it doesn't work. And they have not adapted with the times, but again, it doesn't matter. Which is the most frustrating thing, is that they're succeeding.
Yeah.
Like, the silent majority in all of this is thrilled with the product. And that frustrates me, because it's just like, I'm not at all. This is not for me then.
From a financial standpoint, they are absolutely they're doing fine. They don't need to change, but they do need to change, because they could make a lot more. But I don't know what that means, because on the other side of the ledger, AEW is building and building, but also, are they seeing the immediate financial successes that you would want them to see?
No, because you can't, because at this point, this is what it is. They have global reach.
They have a head start too. Let's not forget that.
Exactly. Multiple decades head start. And it's just, there's no, I don't know, like, it just is, this is the nature of late stage capitalism. It's just they've absorbed all of their competition, and then they just have all of the money and all of the power. And it just seems like there's, when you look at the market for this, this is what the drooling masses want, because they're succeeding. It frustrates me, because we look at our own videos, and the ones that perform best are the ones that feature freaking Goldberg.
I still wonder what happened that time.
But it's all of it. It's all of the nostalgia garbage. And it's the people who don't talk about wrestling on the internet, because, we get this skewed perspective of Twitter and all that, and everyone's pissed off about everything all the time and all that stuff. But by and large, the WWE socials are crazy good. The things that do the best are all these stupid nostalgia acts and people like Brock Lesnar. It's data at its saddest. And it's just this is the reality, is that this is what people want. It's, it's Netflix creating mediocre movies based on data, because the people you clicked on it, you watched all 3 hours of it. Here's another stupid. What was that? Batista, the zombie one.
Oh, Armies of the Dead.
Army of the Dead or whatever. Yeah, they made another sequel unrelated with no zombies, but you clicked on it and you watched all three hours of it, and it doesn't matter if you gave it a thumbs down at the end, because you were on the platform for 3 hours. So
Mod Dan putting Tim railing against nostalgia acts is my favorite Tim.
It's just I don't want to see old men moving slowly in a ring. This is a young man's thing. I want to see people in their prime. They had their moment in the sun. And the roster feels so just empty. And the storytelling is devoid of any intelligence at this point, because the people don't, it's like Marvel in China. You don't need to understand the language. You just want to see the big flashy dumb thing. And we'll concede to that. And it doesn't work for me. And that's fine. I just wish I could walk away a little bit more from WWE, but here we are.
So I agree with almost everything you're saying. And I'll color it a little bit further with, what's going on in Hollywood right now, where most of the studios and most of the producers are being told, we don't want original ideas. We want nostalgia, and we want reboots, because that's what sells. People don't like new things. And here, let's tie it back. We were just talking about PLEs, premium live events. People immediately saw it and they were like, nope, don't like that. Why do you not like it? It's the name they're using for an event. It's not like they're actively telling you, we're going to charge you more money for what we're showing you. We're literally just rebranding the silliest little thing that we show every month.
It's a dumb thing to care about because, again, like, just the term pay-per-view is just factually incorrect. So, like, yes. Chill out. Like, also, pay-per-view isn't, like, it used to mean something. Now it's meaningless. So them continuing to use it is even more ridiculous than saying premium live event. So, like, I don't care about stuff like that. It's just, like, yeah, I don't know. It's clear that to me that there's this very vocal minority complaining about Nostalgia Acts, complaining about Marvel movie after Marvel movie, complaining about, you know, about content that isn't very inspired or you know, reboot after reboot, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, they're vocal. They're the ones in the media publishing reviews, publishing content, people like us talking about the product in this meta narrative. But they're a significant minority. And the data continues to reinforce the fact that no, you want the same bullshit shoveled into your mouth over and over and over again. And just because you're one of the dozen of people that don't, doesn't matter. It's not going to stop. It's going to be the same stuff because people keep going to it. People keep watching it over and over and over again. Like, they just don't waste their lives commenting on it.
Meanwhile, on Monday, Goldberg's coming back, most likely.
Of course he is, yeah. Because, like, he pays the goddamn bills. People want that old-ass man who is, what, 55? Which is octogenarian in wrestling years. He's going to move that bulky, enormous frame. He's gonna do the punch, the axe kick, and then get gassed, and then walk down to the ring. Yeah.
Yep.
And you're going to eat it up. You're going to, like,
it's true.
We might not. The people on Twitter might not. But the people, by and large, are going to click on them YouTube videos over and over and over again.
It's true. And again, like, this is, I'm going to draw the line across to AEW, where we have the same thing with CM Punk and Sting. And this isn't an attack. This is very much just noticing that, yeah, those do big numbers because people recognize those names. The people who are watching wrestling and dropped out and came back to AEW, they like CM Punk because they liked what he did during the time that they were watching wrestling. And Sting was also part of their childhood. And it makes sense. Again, not a shot. And it's really obnoxious that I have to say not a shot because I don't want AEW obnoxious tribalists coming into our chat or on Twitter being like, you shout all over AEW, but not WWE. We just spent the last 5 minutes explaining why WWE has this problem.
It all sucks, man. It all sucks. And, like, either AEW way, is just as guilty of it. Like,
the biggest point here is that building new stars is, yes, tough, but it has merit, and there is a payoff in building new stars. The problem is they don't know how to do it anymore.
And I don't think it even matters, problems though. With it. I don't think it even matters. If you gear your programming to 8-year-olds, whatever is there will work.
Yes, of
like
course.
In 20 years from now, it'll be your Drew McIntyre, your I'm trying to think of another, like, there aren't many. Whoever the hell is on Liv Morgan, whoever the hell is on screen, fine, doesn't matter.
Mad
it
Cat
really
Moss.
Doesn't because they'll yeah, could be Madcap Moss because, like, you know, if it's just about nostalgia, like, Transformers wasn't good. It was a crappy it was a 20-minute ad when it was
on
TV.
Man, I loved Transformers.
Exactly. Uh-huh. And that's what I'm getting at. Kids aren't smart and they're really susceptible to marketing. So, like, yes. You just throw something on TV and you'll imagine it is good because it's just what human beings do. We look to the past and we think that it was super duper rosy and great, but, like, you know, that it doesn't matter. That might not be true. It's a coping mechanism. Like, you don't look to the past and think of pure misery because your brain is just good at editing all of the normal stuff out. So, like, it doesn't matter. Whoever's on screen, if they're putting people on TV and they stick around for 20 years, then they'll be the Nostalgia Acts of tomorrow.
I don't even know if there are exceptions at all because as big as Bron Breakker and Tony D can become, it's up to the whim of one 76-year-old man who can be like, yeah, they're okay, I guess. Put him in the ring with Brock. And then that's it.
But I mean, like, you know, Big Papa Penguin got that perfect kind of summary there. Those are the pops for you know, the future. Absolutely.
I don't even know about Drew, but definitely we're getting there with Randy Orton now.
Oh, yeah, Randy. I mean, Randy Orton is a living legend. He's been doing it for, you know, ages.
Yeah. So anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about Drew McIntyre and Madcap Moss. A match that had no business being as good as it was. Let's face it.
It was good. Yeah, it was really good. Well, I mean, you know, they're talented. But they're, you know, Drew is in his peak.
Yeah.
Madcap Moss is young and like hungry. I'm mm-hmm. not surprised when those matches go good. It's just, you know, WWE is just bad at picking who should be the focal point, but they do have good scouts and they hire very, very talented people.
Yes.
So like, they're just bad at choosing who's the focal point. And yes. at this point, like, yeah, here, throw this together. We'll do it quick. Oh, what the hell? It's great. Of course it's great. Like,
Drew McIntyre wins the match. Later on in the night, as he's giving a promo, Moss and Happy Corbin take out Drew McIntyre in a pretty brutal way. They use a truss and a chair and they knock his neck. And apparently, according to Fightful Select, that is the beginning of writing off Drew for a legitimate injury that he's getting checked out.
Yeah.
So it looks like we'll be without Drew McIntyre, at least for the interim. What that means for Moss and Corbin, no idea. Probably they'll tag team up and they'll go against the New Day.
Yeah, I mean, what they should be doing is patting themselves on the back for taking out someone like Drew McIntyre, for former WWE champion, right? Like,
yeah,
works you for can me. Write that. You could, like, I don't know. WWE is extraordinarily injury averse for, you know, obvious reasons, because it's a money thing. But like, yep. I don't know. You should be so afraid of injuries in wrestling because they're tremendous story fodder and tremendous return fodder when people come back. Like that's a big pop. So.
Yeah. Let's move on. RK-Bro takes on Street Profits with the Raw tag titles.
In an ad for the Migos.
Migos comes out with Randy, with RK-Bro, and a lot of people were like, why aren't they coming out with Street Profits? I was one of those people, and then I realized someone dug up an old tweet of Migos with Randy Orton in an airport, and they've always been fans of each other. So I wish they had said something more on commentary to draw that connection, but they didn't. And then we just had a solid match. Looks like, honestly, I think they're going to turn the Street Profits. I think last night they were this close. They kind of teased it and they didn't do it at the end of the match. But I think on Monday, I think we'll start seeing a new Dawkins and Tess.
They were like, you know, they're more aggressive and, you know, different hairstyles and different facial expressions. So it was like,
When I saw Ford on Monday come out and he's got the full beard and now he's doing the cornrows, and I was like, okay, this is a good look. This is a nice look. I think something's maybe in the works. Dawkins looks the same. He always does, but you can easily do something different with Angelo Dawkins' look. The two of them, though, in the match, they were working heel. They were working pretty heavy.
There's also the risk that they just split them. Angelo Dawkins gets shoved into the, you know, 24/7 hunt and push Montez forward.
No, stop it.
You know it's a possibility.
We've been talking about it, but I don't think they're doing it.
I think they're very high on Montez Ford. I don't think they think of anything of Dawkins, which is a shame because they're tremendous together, and I think they should stick together. I think you might see Ford get a push.
I agree with you, but I also think that if they are a tag team that has backstage swagger or balls or anything like that, they can say, don't do this to us. If they can prove their value financially, if they know that they're making money for the company with their merch, then they can maybe get some advocacy behind them saying, don't split us up. Just keep us together, but like maybe have us go on our own track and then we can come back together. Don't do the usual WWE tag team breakup BS.
We'll see.
Yeah. I don't like, disagree. We've talked about it on this show a million times.
It shouldn't happen, but yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. If they have the balls, let's move on to, and again, match was fine. RK-Bro retains. I still think it's RK-Bro versus Seth and KO at Mania. I think that's the play.
I think that'd be a great match. Like I support wholeheartedly if that's where we're going.
If Alpha Academy doesn't get next, then it's going to be Heel Street Profits versus RK-Bro at the Rumble in my brain. That Brock Lesnar promo with Kayla Braxton. That was the best Brock Lesnar promo I've seen in a long time. When he comes out and he just says, my name is Brock Lesnar, does it exactly like Paul Heyman, says he's going to do what Brock Lesnar does. And then he says, that, my folks, is a spoiler, winks at the camera. That's nightmare fuel, or not, depending on what you feel. And then he walks out of the frame. Did you like that promo? Was it fun?
Yeah,
for you?
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. Brock's loved fun right it. Now. Like, I like Brock. It's just, I wish Brock had more stamina. And I wish that they, or he would just commit to something rather than being a part-timer. Because I just hate the part-timer thing. Shouldn't be a thing. In an industry where people, like, you know, bust their ass to get to this point, part-time shouldn't be a thing. Whatever.
I agree. And Brock's working more lately. His deal, I don't think, is a per appearance deal. I think it's a legitimate, like,
yep,
we're paying you, you're coming in now. I don't, but again, it's not a weekly thing. It's just a, I don't know.
That's the
Brock,
thing.
Brock ebbs and flows when it comes to his commitment to this.
I hate the champion not being on TV every single week. That's dumb. It's dumb to me. So, like, if he's here even for every single week up until Mania, totally on board with that. It's just like, if he's going to show up to one Raw before the pay-per-view at some point and it's a big hyped deal, I'm not here for that. I'm tired of that shit.
I have a feeling he'll show up more because it's Mania season and because he knows that it's part of the deal.
At best we're getting two per month though, which is again insufficient. Like, it should be every week.
I don't hate that because he doesn't necessarily need to be on every show if the show is booked right with the right storylines going. So basically, I want to see, let's say, the U.S. championship built up a little bit more. You can make, and this happened when John Cena held the U.S. title while The Rock was the WWE champion.
Yeah,
John Cena took the U.S. title and he elevated it. I don't think it's what we're doing with Damian Priest, but I'm saying if Brock is off for a week, you make the U.S. title a bigger deal. You put someone big up against Damian Priest and you continue the build of Damian Priest.
And I would agree with you if the show wasn't 3 hours where there's room to do both.
No, like, you're not kidding.
That's the problem. Kidding. Like, if it wasn't a 3 hour show, sure, alternate it. But no, there's just 3 hours and most of it's garbage. So, like, you need both champions. And they just don't do anything with the U.S. title when they should be.
Let's have it. Edge versus Miz. So, not the match I expected.
Okay, far. So once again, the nostalgia act, Edge in the Brood. What drives me nuts about this is, like, do the Brood entrance or don't? And I was like, oh, they're just doing the Brood entrance. Perfect. This is better than SummerSlam for me because I hate the awkward shift into modern day Edge entrance. It's like, do one or the other. I don't care, but don't do both. It doesn't work at all. It's so dumb.
Those sunglasses on Edge look awful, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, he's an old man cosplaying what he was when he was in his 20s. So whatever.
So I agree with you. I didn't love that. I wish they just kept that SummerSlam entrance at SummerSlam. Left it.
Sure. And it's SummerSlam. You can do a special little thing. It didn't grate me as much because it was short. Like, it was a very short thing. And then he went into On This Day.
Yeah.
But this time they dragged the damn thing out and then awkward silence. Cue music. Cue pyro. On This Day.
Not the first time that happened in that match either. We'll get to that in a second. Miz comes out with Maryse. Maryse is holding a clutch, and this whole time I'm like, oh, she is going to use that purse, and that's going to play into the finish.
And this was their terrible story they were telling.
Yes.
And what is the narrative? Will Maryse interfere in the match? Probably.
Of course she
will.
That's
what happens every time. Stop it. This match is slow. Do bigger spots. I don't care if Maryse interferes or not. I don't care that Maryse is there at all. She is uninteresting in this scope. Like,
again, they ruined a lot of the story with the Miz and Maryse when they had her on the cutting edge. And everyone just saw through what was going on. And they just said, all right, forget it. They're a couple again. It was all a ruse, but we didn't really do anything about it. They could have easily played this out till last night, have Maryse come out in the middle of the match and join up with Miz again, and then do the finish that they did. And that would have been much more impactful than the BS that we saw.
And this is what I mean. And then Beth showed up, and this is too fast. Like, this is what we were talking. We gave them an excellent arc all the way to WrestleMania, and they're doing it, but they're going to blow it off at Royal Rumble, and it sucks.
Yeah, and it's being pointed out in the chat. This, and I went back and rewatched this just because I knew I saw it on the watch along, twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. But I didn't have all the sound on because I was talking to people and watching GCW and watching Day One. So I rewatched it this morning, and holy shit, Beth comes out and she's mean and she's angry.
And she's got her hair done, as Cher Delaware pointed out, in a way that makes no sense for this situation.
And she waits and she waits and she waits, and then her music came out. Who cued her to go out that early? One. And two, will they fire that person? Probably not, but they should, because then they play her music and she comes stomping down the ramp and she's upset and Maryse is having none of it. And then she does nothing. She
should have gone after Miz, Becky, considering her husband home invaded them.
Like, should be, absolutely.
What is Becky's going next on? Like, it just doesn't. Yeah, I doubt it.
No, probably
Beth
not.
Beth's one and done. Yeah.
Yeah, Beth the grunge rock star.
I think that's closer to hair metal than grunge.
Bedge. No, she was Bedge.
She was Bedge, yeah.
Boy. So the clutch was used. They used it. That brought in Beth.
Oh, mamma mia, what a surprise.
Yeah, so Maurice uses the clutch and smacks Edge, and then Miz hits the skull-crushing finale, and then Edge kicks out before the three.
The other narrative focal point. Oh, close pins, which was, anyway, my God.
It was just not a good, grunge rock star who put out a country album last year. Yeah, it's a good point. I didn't think about that.
A grunge rock star who overstayed their fame is what that sounds like.
So now they're calling them the grit couple, which kills me. I think it's hilarious and so silly. So anyway, Edge gets the win. Not what I wanted, not what I expected. Match was not
with
great.
With no significant high points, like sloppy moves here and there. Tired men doing tired shit.
And tired crowd. They just weren't having any of it. Rightfully so. It wasn't working.
No, it sucks. I really expected more of this, and they just don't have it.
It was a 20-minute match almost, and it plodded along. We sat there. We were watching We were watching GCW because they were doing the Battle Royal main event at the same time. We were listening and paying more attention to that
else. I actually tuned in a little bit for that, and I heard that the focal point, I keep saying focal point, the focus was on the GCW show, which is like, maybe I should just be watching GCW. Like,
I mean, I do recommend you watch GCW. It's quite fun.
It's an either or. I know. You don't want to give me that either or. We can talk about GCW, but I do not want to talk about WWE ever again then.
Hey, peek behind the curtain. I'm talking to people to bring in more GCW content on this channel. So there you go. All right. There you go. Yeah. So they're the grit couple versus the it couple. That's what's coming up next. It's fine. And yes, the GCW Battle Royal was in fact better than that match. Let's move on. Becky Lynch versus Liv Morgan. So I had to go back and rewatch this match this morning because I had people putting it over to me.
Yeah, really I also match. Read a lot of excitement about it. So I paid more attention to it than I did about a lot of things.
Yes. The match wasn't bad. I don't think it was this classic bad.
Bad. Liv did incrementally better than she has in the past. I'll give her that. The Raw announce team pissed me off more than anything in this
Tell
match.
Me. Tell me.
Liv Morgan sucks ass at drop kicks. And they called it both of her drop kicks beautiful twice. The second time someone tried, I think it was Jimmy Smith who called it like beautiful the second time. And Corey Graves was like, oh, I don't think she got all of it. And it was like, yeah. Because she didn't get all of it on either of them because she can't do a drop kick, it seems. So, like, she did a lot of good stuff. That power bomb was excellent, as everyone has pointed out. The sunset flip thing. Yeah, it's fine. The arm stomp stuff was fine. She's still kind of slow. Like, her knees are slow. Everything's slow. And it's
her
just
knees
like,
are slow.
Well, the like, run to the corner, jump up and knee them in the face. She's so scared of kneeing anyone in the face that it's boring to watch. Like,
I mean, you don't want to knee the goat in the face. That turns into problems.
Well, you know what? Yeah. Then you fight each other, and I enjoy it a lot more. But, like, Liv was fine. She is getting better and better. I think she has a place on the roster. I don't think she's bad. I think she definitely needs to work on her promos.
And then her Rings of Saturn was really cool. That was good from Liv.
Yeah. And again, that Sunset Powerbomb was excellent. Like, very, very good. Like,
yeah. Again, match was fine. It wasn't, I don't think it was as great as a lot
Becky,
of people.
Becky, they screwed the finish, too. Becky was supposed to get her fucking feet on the ropes.
So I was going to get to the finish. They did Liv was going to go for her finish. And then instead, Becky grabbed her and got the manhandle slam. But she slammed her a little bit too far away from the ropes. And these women are not very tall. And so when she went for the pin, Becky was trying and looking. You could see the camera. She's looking trying to get to the ropes. But she couldn't get to the ropes in time. And the audible should have been called. Becky should have said kick out. Like to Liv and that the referee could hear. And then they should have done the spot again. Like, or at least something.
Yeah.
Something.
No, but you're going to protect the manhandle slam. It's Becky's finisher now for some reason.
But that's the problem. That is her finish. But commentary could have said she didn't get all of it, blah, blah, blah. And then I wanted her to get her feet on the ropes because the story continues to be that Becky doesn't win unless somebody gets her feet on the ropes, and that's how she
unless she cheats then, yeah, because she doesn't have the same, like, she can't submit anyone anymore, and that used to be her thing, and that's fine, but now we need to use the ropes, and she couldn't do it this time, and you've screwed it all up. And I'll say, like, yeah, Aja was the ref, but I'll acknowledge, like, this the ref counting was weird.
It was bad.
Slow.
Yeah,
it was not a good refed match. Like,
no, Aja was not match. She was not having a good night for her job, and she's usually she's a lot better.
Usually she's great. Yeah, it was weird pacing for everything.
Yeah, it was just a really awkward finish, and I think that kind of took away from the rest of the match, at least for me, going back and watching it. I was like, that finish, I think there were some stories that could have been told out of a not clean win, but I don't think it was supposed to be.
Yeah, now it's gone now. Yeah. Like, it's just gone. She won clean.
Yeah, now you got to move forward. You got to do something different. Can't do live again. Anyway. Johnny Knoxville is going to be in the Royal Rumble because nostalgia, so we got that.
Yeah, he's going to break his neck, probably. At least that'll be fun.
It'll be all part of a Jackass segment.
I mean, is that okay to say? Because, I mean, that's the point of Jackass, is to watch these morons nearly kill themselves. So, like, yes. Yeah, I'll enjoy watching him nearly die. Maybe so even die. Who knows? That's the thrill of it.
Oh, my God, that's awful. Okay,
welcome to capitalism.
Welcome to Jackass. Let's talk main event. So funny story. I was tired. I took a nap around 1:30 in the afternoon, woke up later on. Or sorry, I guess it was later than that. Either way, I woke up from my nap to a message like 2 minutes earlier saying, Roman Reigns tests positive for COVID. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's a thing. And they're like, Lesnar's going to be added to the WWE title match. I'm like, okay, that's also a thing. And so we had a fatal five-way, Big E, Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, Kevin Owens, Brock Lesnar. And the first thing I think of is poor Seth. And I put it on Twitter with the match graphics. It was the Big E versus Seth, and then Big E, Seth, and KO, and then Big E, Seth, KO, and Bobby, and then the five-way. I had a good laugh with it because it's
funny.
That's
really funny. It is very funny. And, like, you know, if you were talented at telling a story, that's hilarious, and you can use the hell out of that. But they're
and
not
it should have been Seth.
It's going to be
Seth
KO and Seth
time.
In a tag team now. Yeah,
exactly. Sorry, I'm going to bring up Noob & Co. Going back to Becky and Bianca at WrestleMania. I want that to be the play for two reasons. One, I think that is kind of where we're going. I want to see Bianca Belair actually win the Elimination Chamber instead of win the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I don't want to see 2 year anyway.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I want to go back to everyone who kept saying, oh, we can, you know, let it play out. They say it, you know, kind of tongue in cheek and ironically about this. I mean, yeah, we let it play out. And look at this. Bianca just won the title.
I will solidly be on the side of it was not worth it. And it made her look like crap. And this Doudrop stuff has not been good.
I think the Doudrop stuff actually worked out in the end. But
didn't like it at all.
Anyway. That's fair. Okay, subjective art form. I liked where it went.
Agree to disagree.
It's fine by me. We're not here to be on each other's side 100% exactly. of the time. But no, I think that we are going back to Bianca and Becky for the title. That's what I think. Where Becky does win back that title. Oh, sorry, where Bianca wins back that title.
Please, but no. Oh my God, that would be bad.
No, if Becky retains, oh boy, that'll be
just start fire on the fires in Houston.
So fires on the timeline happen when Brock Lesnar gets inserted into the match, and it's a five-way. And you know what?
Okay, hold on. Brock Lesnar gets inserted in the match, and this match accounts for, like, although the match itself is very, very short, this match accounts for at least like an hour of this entire program, because they go to every single competitor and they do an interview only after airing a 5-minute video package for every single competitor.
Yes. So we talked off air about the video packages. They are so well put together. Especially if you're someone who's not watching the product.
I wish I was exclusively watching these video packages and not Raw and SmackDown.
It becomes part of the problem is that we're like, we invest our time and then we have to sit through these promo packages all over again. And that's kind of a time waster.
Yeah.
The match itself goes 9 minutes. It was a sprint from start to finish, which I loved it because they really told it in like the fastest possible way.
Scramble to get the pinfall, because like that's what it is. Like you're just trying to eke out a victory. Like you're not competing here. You're trying to out squirrel somebody else, because that's all it is. Like they might as well throw the championship into a big mud pit and have them all just do that. Whoever grabs it first wins. Like that's what this type of match is, which is fine. I didn't mind that.
We put the WWE title in a vat of gravy, and then we watch you scramble.
Boom. You tie it in with KFC, and you've got yourself a big payday.
Oh, my God. What do they call it, though?
Who gives a shit?
No, I don't think they can call it that.
No, you don't think so?
No, probably not. They call it like the chicken bowl. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Yeah, the chicken bowl. There you go.
Oh, my God. Okay, so the match is mostly people at the beginning trying to take out Brock Lesnar, which we expected, which I appreciated.
It just seems like a good strategy.
It's what you always do. That was the SummerSlam 2017 main event. It was great.
Kentucky Fried Fuckery.
Damn it.
Oh, it's not marketable, but it's so good. Like, that's absolutely perfect. If they had the balls, they'd do it.
Thank you for bringing that back. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So I like the your favorite spot. I know you love the spears through the barricade, but they did it again with Bobby Lashley spearing Lesnar.
That's what Bobby Lashley do now.
That's right. And you know what? He almost took off Lesnar's head because the back of his head landed on the table. I think it was the table where the bell is, the ring bell.
Yeah, the ring bell.
So it was fine. It was good. I liked it.
And it was just transparent. Well, I don't know. I'm concerned what they're setting up, but anyway.
We'll get to that in a minute.
Exactly.
A lot of this match was KO and Seth working together, which again just plays into what we've been talking about.
They're gonna do a tag team.
Fine by me. Then at the end, we have the whole scuttlebutt where Lesnar comes back in, he F5s a couple people, he gets the F5 on Bobby Lashley. Big E comes in about to hit the big ending, and then Lashley reverses it, turns it into an F5, and for the second time, Brock Lesnar pins a member of the New Day to win a WWE championship. People weren't happy about that, and I fully agree. Yes. Anyone else should have taken that pin.
Yep.
The Big E stuff... Now the conversation has turned into, like, was Big E a good WWE champion?
No. No, his reign sucked.
I think in wrestling, in WWE, no. Outside of WWE, all the stuff that he did as an ambassador for WWE and as a black world champion, I think 100% he was able to go out and do a lot of really cool stuff.
Again, it has nothing to do with Big E. It has nothing. He's an amazing wrestler and athlete and everything. Like, love him in ring, great in promos. Nothing to do with Big E, but his reign sucked because he was. You know, given no opportunity.
There were no plans. It was literally, we're going to pop the rating by telling you he's going to cash in and win with the Money in the Bank. And after that, they had nothing. He defended the title on one pay-per-view. That was Crown Jewel. And God knows people don't like that show. And then after that, he defended it two more times on TV. I think once against Austin Theory and then once again against Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, like... terrible, just garbage. Like I don't know, it's a bad decision.
So he did a lot of really cool stuff in media. That was really what the best part about it was, and I think they're gonna give it. I want to see them give him the title again. I just wonder if I put it out on Twitter, and I still kind of stand by it. You can have Lesnar win the match, which he did last night, and then they'll do Lesnar and Goldberg again at the Rumble. But this time a heel Goldberg. Heel Goldberg beats Lesnar, maybe with some tomfoolery from Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns. Now it's Goldberg with the WWE Championship, and he gets Big E. Big E wins the Rumble. And so they do heel Goldberg face Big E at WrestleMania for the WWE Championship, and then you go back to Roman and Brock for the Universal title at Mania as well. Put the nostalgia stuff away. Put those feelings. What are you thinking? What do you want? What do you want to say?
I don't know. That all sounds awful. And I don't think it's going to happen. I think Big E's going to get shoved to the side. I think they're going to ascend somebody else in the Rumble. I don't want to see Goldberg at all. Like, for
you're going to. So just start getting
ready for
that.
Not against Brock Lesnar for what, the fourth time? Like, with, like, you know, Goldberg has no stamina. Like, he cannot move his body around to do this thing.
Yes.
Brock Lesnar has no willingness to do this thing for more than 9 minutes. So, like,
do you shuffle him down the card and give him Damian Priest?
No, like, I don't know. I don't know what you do with him. He needs the title right now. Like,
yeah,
they're going to shove him back with the fucking New Day.
Well, no, because they're on another channel now.
They'll find a way,
I guess. Our friend Ron Patel asked, would you rank Lashley's reign as champion over Big E's? Yeah, yep. I would.
Yeah, because absolutely. Yeah.
Again, going back to the wrestling. Yes. Lashley 100% had a better wrestling championship reign than Big E.
Had a better story reign.
Yes. But I'm saying, like, there's media championship and then there's, wrestling with your championship. And I really do think, like, Lashley had a much stronger reign. He also was a champion during a time when people weren't exactly, like, running across the country doing interviews and stuff.
Yeah.
So that was day one. Lesnar wins the title. And it was a big shock to quite a few people, myself included. I wonder if...
I mean, considering he wasn't even in the match, that was a clear audible. It's like...
Yes, 100%. It was a make good for that crowd. Do you think that things would have been different had Roman and Brock happened?
I think he would have beaten Roman. Yeah, I think that was really? The plan. Yeah, I think so.
I don't know about that. I think it just would have been the swerve.
I think they just freaking love giving Brock Lesnar the title for, you know, nostalgia reasons. And again, because his name gets clicks, I guess.
Yeah. It's very strange. Well, you know what? We like getting clicks too. So how about tossing a thumbs up on this video? Huh? Like that transition? Huh?
Yeah, leave a comment? Maybe, I don't know, we'll show Goldberg's butthole or something. Like, maybe that'll get us up to the top.
That'll get us kicked off the platform. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to the channel.
Not if you don't know it's please, a butthole.
Please, for the love of God, subscribe to the channel and don't talk about buttholes.
I'm getting desperate, clearly.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't have a photo of Goldberg's butthole, so I can't deliver.
I wonder if I can... Anyway, let's move on. Do you want to talk about... we can talk about
maybe
Dynamite
if we ask quick. Nicely.
Sorry. Oh, my God. Anyway, do you want to talk about New Year's Smash?
Briefly, we can.
I don't think that there's a lot that we can really pull from because the show was weirdly paced.
Yeah.
Like multi-man match, promo, multi-man match.
Yeah. Yeah.
and then other matches in between.
A lot of multi-man going on and just like, I don't know. Christian's a jerk now, I guess. I don't know.
Christian's always been a jerk. Yeah. They've been wanting to turn him forever.
WWE's roster feels so narrow and AEW's feels way too big. And like, why can't anyone find the balance? Why can't they find the balance?
Impact, hard to kill next Saturday night.
Oh, yeah. I wish. Can we just talk about Impact? I'll just talk about Impact.
I mean, they're doing a pay-per-view next week and I'll be doing a watch along on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we can talk about Hard to Kill and we can talk about Battle of the Belts because it'll be the same night.
No. One or the other. I keep stressing. It's one.
They're on at the same time. Just put them both on.
No, I can't do that. It's horrible.
You have like a triple wide monitor. You can do whatever you want.
It's not about real estate. It's about the cacophony of horrible noise and not being able to focus on anything.
Just turn down the volume. Was there anything like really storyline beat? It sounds like TBS show is the real Battle of the Belts because they are now loading up that show between Hangman and Danielson 2. They're doing the tag titles on the line on that show. Yeah. They're doing what was the other big one that they announced? Forgot what it was. They announced another big match for the TBS Women's Championship final is on that show as well. So there's a lot going on. They're gonna overload the TBS debut, which I understand and I appreciate because again, Battle of the Belts is a 1 hour show. It is a taster. Mm. It's not a big event. Mm. Mm. What else?
Okay. So what happened on Dynamite? We had 10 people in the ring to set up the tag title match. Yeah. We had Chris Jericho return. Woo. Okay.
By the way, earlier in the day, I love that everyone was like, oh my God, it's going to be Mox. Mox is coming back to save his buddy Eddie Kingston. And I'm like, hey, remember a few weeks ago when Chris Jericho got taken out by the team that Eddie Kingston and Santana and Ortiz are facing?
Yeah. Man, get the basics down, y'all. and then what happened?
I'm just going to go back. By the way, Christian being pinned by FTR, I liked that.
Yes, agree.
FTR looks more strong. Christian Cage has nothing going on. It was the right play.
Yeah,
I like
that. Let his ass get pinned.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Adam Cole, yeah. Kyle O'Reilly, will they, won't they? Who will Adam Cole pick? Yeah, okay, that continues.
his best friends, the Young Bucks. They're going to put him on a pole. They're going to put Adam Cole on a pole. Bay for custody of Adam Cole. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. And it's going to be Red Dragon versus the Young Bucks. What do you think? MJF and Wardlow.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sure. Okay. Yeah. The very obvious Wardlow's go and face stuff.
Yes.
At which he gets point a squash match, at which point he's playing to the crowd and it's like, oh, you're going to be a face. We all know. Okay.
But MJF also said, if you keep winning, you'll be in the face of the Revolution ladder match, which is coming back at Revolution. And the winner of that match gets a title shot. And if you get that title shot, the title shot goes to MJF.
Yeah.
Because he signed himself a 360 deal. What do you think?
Wow. It sounds to me like Wardlow should spend at least a little bit more time learning how to read.
It's true. He's not like much of a reader.
I don't think much of Wardlow if that's the situation. Like if that's the narrative beat of it, then it's just like, oh, so Wardlow's a freaking moron. Like, got it. Good. Now I'm not rooting for the moron. Like, I don't care. Like, oh, big dumb idiot did a dumb thing. Now he's got to live with the consequences. Okay.
Jade Cargill, Thunder Rosa was a good match. It was fine for what it was.
Yeah,
I
think Thunder Rosa made Jade look pretty good. So.
Yeah, and I like that Jade, again, got beat down enough that she had to sell and didn't do a bad job selling. There were a few moments where I was like, not great. But again, new.
Yeah, she's learning. A little bit. Give it to me. It's the AEW women's division, and that's kind of the tail of the tape there. Everyone's still kind of working on some stuff.
I ain't talking about Brandy and Dan Lambert. It happened. Oh,
You don't want to talk about that. Very important.
I've got a black belt in not paying attention to that segment. CM Punk comes out of Daly's place.
It had like two funny bits in like an extraordinarily painful entire situation.
A black belt and cringe is what that was.
It was great. It was great. Awful garbage.
CM Punk is like, hey, MJF, you're a troll. You're not like Piper, blah, blah, blah.
Boy, I'm done with you. CM Punk already.
I didn't know what to say. No one came out. That was that. I'm sorry. I'm trying.
That's it. Like, this is not what I expected of these two. And I'm bored.
Sorry. We did completely go past Ace makes Mercedes Martinez, who, by the way, I'm a huge friggin' fan of. And yeah, I completely forgot. When?
What? Did I miss
Mercedes this? Martinez took out Thunder Rosa.
Thunder Rosa. I was wondering who Jade's friend was. I skipped through a lot of it.
So Merc is now part of AEW. I said it when she was
released.
That's
awesome, yes.
She is the player coach that the women need in AEW. I'm a big fan of Mercedes Martinez.
It's very good, yeah.
Very happy to see her make her debut. I want to see Mercedes Martinez and Jade Cargill win the non-existent women's tag titles in AEW, but then I want them to beat FTR and become the AAA tag champions and go over to Mexico and beat the shit out of everyone in AAA.
Yeah, that'd be great. That's never gonna happen.
No, not with that feeling. I do. Yeah. Anyway, so that was that. I'm a big fan of Mercedes Martinez coming in, and we also still get Mercedes versus Deonna on TV in Impact. Yay. So big fan of that. Mercedes Martinez is the true Forbidden Door. Dante Martin versus Powerhouse Hobbs is going to happen again, sure. And then this is my favorite part of the night, my second favorite part of the night. They're like, for the first time since losing his TNT championship, here is Sammy Guevara in picture holding the signs like he did in 2019. Boy, did they really fuck that up.
Yeah,
and all it is him saying, I got beat and I won another championship reign. That's it. Cool.
So I think that also Sammy Guevara is a very dumb man. that's my takeaway. I don't think he's a very smart person.
No, but anyway, Tony Schiavone interviews Brian Pillman Jr. I thought that was going to introduce Brody King. No, because Merc made her debut instead. Instead, we had the lights go out. Aleister Black is there and he's pointing ominously. And then the lights go out and they come back on and they still have the camera on that top shot as Malakai Black is like casually walking to the back.
He's like, well, I did good today. I'm going to go have an ice cream.
My work here is done. Dude.
You know, thinking that the camera would not be so damn stupid.
Keith Mitchell's final night. That's a 40 years in the industry, and that's how he gets to go home. I love that the if you look at the AEW review, the arena lights turned off and Malakai Black appeared out of thin air. He stared at Pillman. The lights turned on and Black was gone after sauntering to the back. Anyway, it's
not at all what happened. Little revisionist history there.
Oh, fun stuff. Anyway, again, the show was just weirdly paced. And then, yeah, we talked about the main event. You know, Red Dragon and Adam Cole, Bay Bay get the win. They beat Best Friends, which, sure, okay. And the story is still, who loves Adam Cole more?
Yep.
I do.
I don't care. I feel like you could all get along, but I guess not. No, I don't know. I figure that it's going to end up being like O'Reilly and Fish, maybe, which I kind of don't want. We'll see.
I mean, that was the original. That's Red Dragon.
Oh, okay.
That is the original team. Let's talk about Rampage real quick. Yes. Darby and Sting versus Anthony Bowens. Fine match. Don't have much to say about it.
Fine match. Who cares? No one cares. Darby Allin did a middle finger because he's an edgy, brooding little baby boy.
Love it. Street fight. This I care about. This match I care about. The street fight.
Yes.
Anna Jay, Ty Conti versus Penelope Ford and the Bunny. First of all, I say it every single time. If you are sleeping on Penelope Ford, it's time to wake up. That match with these four was great. Blood, thumbtacks, tables. That
so the tables were funny. I enjoyed the attempts at having tables.
I mean, they got the one table spot in the ring. The one where they went the double knees. Oh, that was just because she threw herself back. It worked.
It's fine. It was
fine. It worked. But the
double knees, I think, was improved by it not breaking. That was entertaining.
Yeah. Brutal is the word. It was an excellent match. Should have been the main event. Don't care what you think. That should have been the main event.
Just blew calling off the other people, not very smart. Ty Conti gets hit with the sugar glass bottle. Blades here. Bottle hits over here.
I didn't see that, but yes.
Yeah, I was just like, that's not... Sugar glass is expensive. You should probably really make the most of it when you... Anyway, he's a billionaire. Who gives
they got all the money. What are you talking about?
Yeah, exactly.
I love the finish. Anna Jay with the barbed wire around her wrist does the Queen Slayer and forces Bunny to tap out. That was fun. Good match. It had all the fun stuff. Even Bunny slipping on the thumbtacks, people were like, oh, what a botch. And I was like, no, dude, I love it.
Botch. That was hilarious. That was like on purpose.
Yeah. She great. Introduced like, the thumbtacks. It's unheard to mess it up. Yeah. I agree with Mod Mike. Crimson Mask Bunny's terrifying. I love it.
That elevated everything. Like just Bunny covered in blood is like a spectacle in itself.
And then they had Cody Rhodes versus Ethan Page for the TNT title. No shock here. Cody wins.
Good match. I'll give Cody that. It was a good match. I enjoyed watching them wrestle.
Yeah, it was fine. And then at the end, you know, the crowd's already booing him and does the Tiger Driver 98 with the two crossroads to finish. That's the new Cody line until he finally hits that pedigree one day on Hook or something.
He's a heel now. I think he is. He's doing it. It's happening. It's going to be the slowest heel turn in all of history, but that's where he's going.
We got through it. That's Rampage. That was Dynamite. We talked about day one. We talked about marketing extensively. That's what this show became. WWE's marketing plans.
More Goldberg content next week.
That's right. On Wednesday, we'll be talking about Goldberg.
Goldberg, sure, exclusively 1 hour of Goldberg.
We're going to do a Goldberg retrospective.
Oh my God. Okay. So he was fit and sucked, but pushed. 20 years pass. Now he's not fit, but still fit. But he's so big that he gets gassed. Still sucks. Does the same three moves.
He's got a son, though.
Sunberg. Best part about him.
Where can the kids find you on the internet, Tim?
Timstone P, TimStoneP on Twitter, Instagram. I don't know why you'd want to, though. I might like your stuff. There you go. If you tweet and it's not stupid moron garbage, I might give it a little heart. That's what I do on Twitter.
There you go. TimAndJoelPod.com. That's where you can find this channel, at least for now, because we're working on some cool stuff for 2022. I'm at Joel Pearl, JoelPearl. I'm looking forward to a good year with everyone, our friends new and old. Go ahead, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening in audio, drop us a 5-star review. We appreciate you. We appreciate you and your friends getting into our ears and into your ears. And ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll be back on Wednesday at noon Eastern to do a new one. We'll see you then. Cheers.